the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're very happy to be back with you here tonight, as we are each and every night. This is Thursday night, tomorrow is Friday night, and then guess what the next day is, bud?
Saturday.
And what's the date?
October 1st, and that's too late.
Yes, it's too late. For what?
To be a first-generation backstage pass recipient and everything.
Right, exactly. So, whatever you said.
Well, it doesn't say like recipient, man, not percipient. What did I say? Percipient.
You said percipient, whatever that is. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference because today is the 29th. Tomorrow is the 30th. I say 29th here in California. And for you guys who are listening on the East Coast and other time zones, of course, it is Friday. So at midnight tonight for you guys and at midnight on Friday night, that will be the end of your chance to be a first-generation Backstage Pass member. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. There has never been a larger archive of any single radio show ever attempted in the history of radio. We are not only attempting it, we're going to get it done. We are archiving every single show that we have done, at least since the show went into national syndication in 1999 and before. We have made downloads out of all of our character clips. Everything's going to become a download. Everything is going to be there by way of our search engine. We have our video casts. We have video rants. We have our daily podcasts. We have classic Phil podcasts. We got a lot of stuff going on there, so please head over and get a backstage pass because after midnight tomorrow night, the first generation offer is over. And we have not raised the price of our backstage pass since when, Robert?
Like you said 1999, right?
1999, exactly. That's 12 years that we've not raised the price. I dare any business in America to equal that. I don't think it exists. All right, so that's happening at philhenryshow.com. Remember that date. Now, our affiliate spotlight tonight, you can also find our affiliates at philhenryshow.com. Our affiliates, I don't know why we spell it like that, you know.
Well, that's how you spell it.
No, you don't spell it affiliates. You spell it affiliates. A-P-H-I-L, and then, affiliates.
Well, they do.
They put affiliates, some jazz, I don't know. Anyway, two of our great affiliates, WCFO in Atlanta, Georgia, and in Jackson, Mississippi, WYAB. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. All of you guys, great stations on the Phil Hendry Show Network. A network of not only great radio stations, but also a network of great listeners, a network of people enjoying us on the podcast, a network of people enjoying us via our webcasts and so forth. We're also at Twitter at Phil Hendry Show, actually at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Margaret Gray is going to join us here in a moment, and I think it's worthy. It's a worthy conversation to have. I do a lot of traveling by air. I know a lot of you guys do, too. A lot of you do traveling far more than I do. My very good friend, close personal buddy, the Big D, DJ, DJO, the father of my godson, J.O., who at this very moment is regretting that he's not in New York, wasn't born in New York, wishes he was a New Yorker just because Radiohead's there, you know.
Yeah, that's a bitching show.
I know, but I've all he's been tweeting about it. Yeah, we do radio. Anyway, well, how did I get undone? Anyway, he travels a lot. He's always all over the damn country, man. Everywhere, every which way but loose, man. That cat is every place. So we're going to talk to Margaret about frequent traveling and the first class, I guess the first class seat, Margaret. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, Phil, it's always a great pleasure to join you, and I appreciate very much talking about this. You know that as a writer, I do probably a lot more traveling than writers. People who write the way that I write or the column that I write, I don't do a sports column. I am not a hard news journalist, Phil. I'm just a commentator, really, on the American scene. So the traveling that I do is generally I am going somewhere such as a music event to a play, somewhere where there is a very special a thing occurring that I need to be there, I need to get into that show, and I need to absorb what I'm going to write about. And, of course, a lot of that travel is done by way of airplane.
Okay, so you're traveling by way of airplane, and while you say you're not doing as much traveling as others, you're still doing a significant amount of traveling. Now, you're on the aircraft. And what your concern was is that the pilots are telling people to shut off their cell phones with about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so before the plane takes off?
Well, I don't know how much. All I'm telling you is that the pilots and the flight attendants, as you know, Phil, I've always had an issue with the way they talk to me. And that does not mean that I'm anything special, but I'm a journalist. I do work in what we used to call the Fifth Estate. I work in the news business. I am filing stories. I'm talking to editors. I am talking to people that I'm going to be interviewing and so forth. So my telephone is my lifeline. Now comes the flight attendant. And she walks by and looks down at me and says, you need to turn that off, and there isn't any acknowledgement of what it is I'm doing or who I am, and that's to be understood. But here is where I think they can make a little bit of an exception. When you walk by someone who is sitting in first class, and that person is on their cell phone, I would think and I would hope, Phil, that there is more consideration for that individual, then you need to turn that off, you know. And I'm giving you the voice that was used for me.
Are you saying that the flight attendant she had a rude tone?
Absolutely. When they walk by and they look at you and they say, you need to turn that off. You know, there is it's very cutting. It's very...
I'm not going to try and make apologies, but I can well imagine there's lots of passengers.
I know what you're going to say. There are a lot of passengers. They've been working. That's their job.
That's true.
That is their job. And so I don't have a whole lot of sympathy when people say to me, well, flight attendants have a very tough job. And so, yes, I know they do. I've heard that. I understand that. And what is more, Phil, I appreciate that very much. I appreciate that very much. I really do. But do they appreciate what I am up against? So that when they say, you need to turn that off, and the pilot does the same thing.
The pilots are different. The pilot is going to say, I haven't heard too many pilots say, well, maybe I'm not exactly remembering correctly.
Well, Phil, I don't think you do, because the pilots will come on and they'll say, ladies and gentlemen, I am your captain, so on and so on. So you need to have the phone turned off. I want to get up and I just want to shout sometimes. You know something? I'm working. And I would very much appreciate some consideration to the extent that the pilot and the flight attendant both are giving me that kind of due. You know what I mean? That kind of consideration.
And well, I don't know how much consideration they're going to give you. You know,
let me give you an example.
No, hold on. How much consideration? You have an aircraft. You're in an aircraft, Margaret, that is federally regulated. Okay?
Oh, God, I know this.
And allow me, if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead.
You're in an aircraft that is federally regulated. There's a federal regulation that
regulates.
Yes, a federal regulation that regulates the operation of that aircraft.
Can I say something? You're a radio personality. You're a commentator. You use words, and to say there's a federal regulation that regulates is...
It's not the most elegant. I'm you're right. But I'm also here in real time. I'm talking to the folks at home. I'm talking to you. It's not elegant, but I'm not here critiquing your use of the English language. You know...
Well, I don't think you could.
Well, let's stick to the point here.
All right.
The point that I'm making is you're in an aircraft that has certain rules and regulations that must be observed by the crew. The aircraft must be flown a certain way. The aircraft must be taxied a certain way. They must take off a certain way. There isn't one thing on an aircraft, a commercial airliner, that's not regulated by the federal government. And then, of course, there is the standard law that it is part of American law. It's part of international law. It's part of the laws of most countries. Once you're in the air, the captain is the king. That's his castle. The captain rules over all. The captain can arrest people. the captain can, you know, land the aircraft where he feels it is fit to land it because his interest should be safety. The captain can put down if someone's sick. The captain can say to somebody, drop dead, I'm not going to do that. You know, he's the guy, okay?
Let me ask you something. The captain, you say, he rules the roost, and he is the king of the castle.
Exactly.
Does that extend, and I'm not being facetious now, I want to know, does that extend to dictatorial powers? Does he, for instance, get to say, and I'm being purposefully ridiculous, Phil, does the captain of an aircraft get to say, the lady sitting in 2C, I like the way you look, come up here and sit on my lap?
No, he does not get to say that. That's asinine.
And I agree it's asinine. So why does he get to say, turn off your cell phone? Why does he get to interrupt my work? You know, I'm very flustered, Phil.
Well, hold on. You're saying two different things. Of course he doesn't get to say...
Why doesn't he? You said that he is in charge of the aircraft.
Yes, he's in charge of the aircraft. He's in charge of the aircraft. He doesn't get to say that you, hey, you in 2C, come up here and sit on my lap. You know, but he is allowed to say, turn off your cell phone, because that will interfere in the communication.
Oh, that is complete bullcrap. Now, I was waiting for you to say that. I really was. I was waiting for you to say that because that is absolute rubbish.
And well, how do you know that that's rubbish?
They tell you that so you're not on the cell phone chattering away and demeaning the flight attendants in the process. And
how does that demean the flight attendants?
When you're on the cell phone talking, it is demeaning to the flight attendants who are doing their safety dance, who are walking up and down the aisle and trying to give the impression that they are the crew, they are the ones that are going to basically be in charge of safety. And there you are on your phone. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
So, no, I don't see what you're saying.
What I am saying is this. If you're on your cell phone, you demean the flight attendants into thinking that they're secondary to what you're doing on your phone.
Well, I'd really love to hear from a flight attendant about that.
Well, do you think they're going to tell the truth?
Yes, I do think they're going to tell the truth. 877-876-PHIL. Our cell phones are communication devices on aircraft. At some point, we're told to shut them off. Is it really necessary to shut those cell phones off, or is this a power play on the part of the crew and the captain to get us seated, get us buckled in, and get us complacent and under control? Do we really need to turn those cell phones off? Are we being told to do things just to sort of flex the authority muscle of the flight attendants? 877-876-PHIL. I admit I don't know I don't know what a cell phone actually does to air traffic. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back with Margaret Gray.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. With me is Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me, the Dicklin Syndicate. She's a nationally syndicated writer. We're going to talk here about... The whole idea, Margaret, of cell phones having to be turned off. You put forth an opinion that I've heard from a lot of people, which is you think it's some kind of baloney story.
I don't. You know, look. Let's be reasonable and let's talk like a couple of adults. You're trying to tell me that the safety of the entire aircraft relies on on the good sense of everybody on the aircraft turning off their cell phones. Well, you know, and I know, and I think everyone listening knows, that in the famous words of the poet, ain't gonna happen. You've got a lot of people on that aircraft that are not the most intelligent in the world. They don't even remember whether or not they turned the phone off. They put it in their briefcase. Oh, my God, it's on. So, in other words, the plane gets airborne, and one or two people who are very, very, very dumb have left their phone on, and that means all of us. On a full flight, that could be 200 people, all of us go nose first into the ocean with a ball of orange flame, and shoes and legs are found.
Why do you put things in such a horrifically graphic way?
Well, I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, shoes and legs are found and a ball of flame. Why is it necessary to put it that way?
It's necessary because that's what the airlines want you to believe. Do you understand that?
And you're making a large issue here.
You better believe I am.
Out of the fact that the aircraft personnel asked you to turn your damn phone off,
Excuse me, Phil. I'm not using that kind of language with you.
Ask you to turn your phone off. The pilot asked you to turn your phone off, and you translate that into power move.
Well, you know something? Right now, I'm just getting over your language. I didn't even hear what you just said. I'm getting over.
Margaret, I said the word damn. I didn't use a...
No, I know, but that is a profanity. You didn't use an obscenity, but you did use a profanity.
No, I did not use God's name in vain. No, I did not.
Well, you said damn, and there is only one, he who can damn. You know that. Only one, God, and it is he who damns.
Yes, Margaret, I apologize. Can we get back on course?
Yes, we can, but your point, I think, Phil, is so... It frustrates me because it doesn't come from an expanded mind. It's coming from the mind, and I know better because I know you, but it sounds like it's coming from a mind that has shriveled, a mind that cannot see me, my other companions, the other people traveling who need desperately to use these cell phones.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, and you know, and I'll ignore your insult.
What insult?
A mind that has shriveled.
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, I'm talking in general terms, okay?
You know for a full fact that I am... All right, did we lose the call? Bud? Margaret, are you there?
You know that?
I didn't hear you.
I said... You didn't hear...
We lost the call.
I said that I have recommended you as a speaker at the colleges that I visit. Did you know that?
No, I did not. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. Here's Spencer in Naples, Florida. Go ahead, Spencer.
Hi, yo, Phil. Just heard
yes, sir.
Show. I've been a flight attendant for 20 years with U.S. Airways, and I'm going
yes,
to tell you exactly why you can't use that cell phone. Number one, when the flight attendants are giving their safety briefing, if you're using your cell phone, you're not paying attention. You're not going to know where you're...
That's what I said. It's a power play.
Let's let the gentleman finish.
You're not going to know where your exits are. You're not going to know how to get out of that airplane in case there is an emergency situation. It's disrupted, you know, the passengers around you, number one. And, you know, the second reason. But the big thing is it's all safety. It is all safety. So whoever is calling you in right now, the bottom line is it's safety. We want you
to... Well, Phil, I have to say something. This man has not said anything that I haven't said already. You are absolutely backing up what I said. You're saying that it's about control.
When your flight attendants are standing up there and we're pointing out to you your exits, you need to pay attention. You need to
control
how to get out of that airplane. That plane is about to have an incident on either takeoff or landing or whatever. Now, if you notice here in the past couple of years, on your way in, when you're landing, they tell you that now it's permitted that you can use your cell phone. The reason for that is because the most important parts or the most dangerous parts of a flight are on takeoff and landing. After you've been landed and you're taxiing in, they say, no, now it's okay to use your cell phone. That is the reason why.
I'd like to say something here, because the gentleman has said, the gentleman is saying exactly what I said. It's a controlled maneuver. It's got nothing to do with communications, which is what they've told us. It's to control our actions. Now, I want to ask you something, sir. I've been flying my whole life.
Hold on. We'll have to ask Spencer to hang on. We have to take a break.
No, I want to ask him now. I have to.
We're taking a break.
I'm here.
You want to hear?
Henry.
You hung up on the poor man, you dumbass, and you said the S word.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show. And welcome back here. Margaret Gray with us from Santa Monica as we talk about the use of cell phones on aircraft. I apologize to Spencer for hanging up on you, Spencer. Not only did I hang up on you, man, but I dropped the S word, which only those who are seeing our uncensored video cast, I guess, we're able to see that.
You know something, Phil? I understand things happen, but I don't like that kind of language, and I think I made that clear with you.
You understand it was a mistake?
Yes, I absolutely do. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not judging you, but I don't like that. I am a lady. For what that's worth in America today, I don't like that kind of filth.
But you understand, and I apologize, Margaret.
I appreciate that.
But you understand I didn't do it on purpose.
No, I know you didn't do it on purpose. I'm not saying that you did. I'm just saying when I hear that word, I don't like that kind of filth. You understand that?
Yes, I do understand that. All right. I apologize.
That's all right. But the issue of the cell phone, Phil, it goes to this. The young man that had been calling from Naples, who was the flight attendant.
Yeah.
He was backing up everything that I was saying. He was saying that the reason why we tell people to turn off their cell phones is why? To control your movements, control your actions, to keep you from doing what you want to do, making you to do what they want you to do. You see?
Isn't that what it is? Isn't that part of what it's about, though? And
part of what's about? What do you mean, isn't that part of what it's about? This is not some happening. And
I don't mean it's a happening. I mean what it's about in terms of what they need. The flight attendant has to get the attention of the passengers. This is a very, very... this is a tenuous experience, if you think about it. You know,
in what way?
Well, you're flying in an aircraft. And there are, I don't know how many souls that are all together, 100. There's a captain. There's a flight crew. If an aircraft, for whatever reason, has a problem, there's a problem, you know. And so everybody's got to have their act together.
Well, you know what you're doing now is you're panicking people. And I got to tell you, Phil, there are people on their way to the airport tonight. I don't think you're doing a public service. And
I'm not panicking. I'm just trying to say that if a flight attendant needs our attention, should we not direct our attention to them?
And what if I have flown more times than a flight attendant? What about that?
I don't... To be honest with you, I don't think that's... possible, you know.
Well, guess what, Phil? I've got a news flash for you. Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
How do you know you've flown more times than a flight attendant?
I am flying twice a week. And
flight attendants are flying every single day.
No.
They are flying. They're flying.
No.
Every single day? They're not flying every day.
No, they are not. That is what, that's the sales pitch. That is part of the veneer. No, they don't fly every day, for God's sake. It is, first of all, Phil, it's impossible for a human being to fly every day because of the physiological demands of flying every day. Putting the body in flight, taking a human body from the sea level or wherever you are on Earth and pushing it up into the air every day at tens of thousands of feet is injurious. Now, I don't know whether you know that or not or whether you ever took the time to study it, but I did. So it is physically impossible.
Whoa, hold on. Let me take a phone call. I want to get back into this.
There's nothing to get into, Phil.
That to fly every single day, you're telling me is injurious. Flight attendants do indeed fly every day. Drew in Allentown, Pennsylvania. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Phil, thanks for taking my call. First of all,
yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just cracking up at the comments that were just made. But I would absolutely have to agree with Margaret in the sense that she's talking about how, you know, the rule that they're trying to get out is that they're trying to control your motions, just like a traffic
signal. Exactly.
But the thing is, though, Margaret, it's just like a traffic signal is trying to control your movements on the road, right? It's trying to keep you safe. It's trying to keep other people on the road safe.
No. I've seen the safety dance a million times.
Right.
I don't need to see it again.
Well, here's the thing is that, I mean, that's what it is, right?
Well,
so when you sign
fight?
Up for a driver's
license.
Will you not interrupt the man?
The laws of the road, right? And so
Hold on a second.
Let me finish what I'm saying. I mean, you have
I've never signed a contract.
You have all night to say whatever you want. Just give me a couple of
all
minutes
right.
here.
All right.
So the thing is that you sign an agreement that you'll obey the laws of the road when you get a driver's license, right? When you purchase a plane ticket.
No, you're not right. I've never signed any such thing.
Listen to the man, and then you can have your say. Go ahead, sir.
Right. Thank you. The thing is that when you purchase a ticket from a private airline, all right, this is a private business, you agree to abide by their rules, okay? So I don't think the power struggle is with the airline. I don't think it's with the stewardesses. I think you're the one that has the problem with control. You have a hard time. And the thing is that who are you to say, hey, look at me, I'm in the middle of a very important business call. Everybody stop whatever they're doing and let me do what I need to do, and you just carry on what you're doing.
I'm not asking everyone.
But you are, though.
I'm telling the flight attendant. Well, I can tell you this much. No corporation is allowed to violate the Constitution. So even if it is an airliner
they cannot tell me
that I'm not allowed to finish a call to a very important client while their flight attendant goes into a safety dance just so they can audition for that tape that they do. And you know that's why they're doing that.
You know what?
You know that's why they're doing that.
Huh?
There is no right in the Constitution that says you have the right to finish your phone call so that everybody else can sit on the phone.
It's called free speech. It's called freedom of speech.
No, I'm sorry,
and
that's
the,
not...
No. Where does it say in the Constitution?
Well, no, Phil, the point that I'm making is a very real point. No company is allowed to violate any law. They can have their rules and regulations.
What law are they violating?
There is a basic light. If I was on the phone to my daughter, let's say I was on the phone to a daughter. I don't have a daughter. I have a son. But what if she was being raped? Oh, now you two guys are going to have to get together on that one, aren't you?
You know something? In the case...
I'm glad you find rape funny.
What?
Why are you laughing?
Example funny. Okay.
Why are you laughing?
Example funny that you would bring.
Are you a father? Well, what if that happened?
If that happened, then you could tell the flight attendant, "I have an emergency phone call here that's happening right now." And,
oh, really? And what's to stop them from saying, "Guess what? How do you know?"
You know what the point
how
is?
How do you
it
know?
Doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter what the phone call is about.
Hold on for a minute. They got a connection problem.
I didn't hear you, Phil. I've got a million different... my phone was dropping out.
Yeah, say that again, will you, Drew?
Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with what the conversation is actually about. It has everything to do with the fact that they have rules in place, and you're expected to follow those rules because you purchased the ticket on their airline.
Right.
There's no laws being broken whatsoever.
Well, sir, Americans don't get this concept. Let's say you have a restaurant. And let's say people come into your restaurant. And let's say one day you say, well, let's say that one, you would never do this, I'm sure, but let's say that, you know, for whatever reason, one day you say, oh, I'm sorry, you're Jewish. Would you get out? Now, you have violated the law because the law says, even though that is your restaurant, you must adhere to certain public accommodation.
Well, exactly.
You're comparing this to a civil rights...
Right? Yeah, that's actually more civil rights. So a cell phone call has
no. No, this has to do with civil rights. Yes, it absolutely does. I have the civil right to the free speech that I have been guaranteed by the. Jesus, you guys are stupid. No, both of you are really stupid.
How is that free speech?
Don't condescend to me. You're laughing.
Like,
why?
You're doing to me, you mean?
How am I laughing
after
at you?
That, after
when
that
did I laugh at you?
Insults. I mean, I would think I would have a right to, you know, react.
What insult? What insult did I deliver to you?
Well, you called me and felt stupid. I mean, I would take that as an insult.
Oh, poor baby. Poor baby.
No, but you know something? You were basically saying, you know,
if this guy laughs one more time, I'll go through the phone. I'm not kidding. I'll go right to the front.
I'm sorry. It's just, you know what? I'm trying to have an intelligent conversation with you, and you're getting...
Yeah, I know, but if you laugh one more time, I'm going through the phone, and your wife will walk into the room, and she'll see me on you.
All right. You know something? Threatening people is not going to get anything done. First of all, I have to say that I agree with Drew. And I must say that I think flight attendants have a lot of patience, too. I get pissed off on their behalf when they are trying to get something done. If I want to leave, I'm a passenger, too. I'd like to take off, you know.
So go ahead and take off.
You got your phone on.
So what?
Wow.
Well, the problem is, Mark.
Wow. All right.
The problem is that they
Drew.
Because of the rules and regulations.
Oh,
Drew, you made very good points. I appreciate your call. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. You know, that man was making some...
No, he wasn't making any points, and he was laughing. He laughed at rape. And let the record show, he laughed at rape. I said, what if my daughter was being raped? And he went, ha, 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 ha. You know, I've got a belch. I am very, very put out with some of the attitudes that Americans show these days, Phil. And I came on your program to simply say the following. I'm on an aircraft. I paid for my way onto that aircraft. You think a cell phone doesn't interfere with the aircraft's communications? They lied to me.
Well,
they lied to me. And they lied to you when they said, please turn off your cell phone because it could interfere with the communications of the aircraft. Lie.
I think...
Lie.
Margaret...
A lie.
I think it... Yes, it may be... No, I don't think it's a lie. I think that...
Lie.
Would you stop doing that?
I'm telling you it's a lie.
I'm telling you that there is some truth to it. And that...
Oh, there's some truth to that and some truth to Phil. I was on the phone with Bert McKinney. He has one of the hottest books going today in America. I was booking an interview with him. I'm on the phone with him, not his assistant, not his wife, who butts into everything. It was the first time in a year that I'd gotten Bert McKinney on the phone, and I didn't have Sally McKinney butting in on the other end, on the extension. Oh, Bert, you know what they do when I'm on the phone, I'm saying, Bert, and...
Yeah, I get it, okay?
Oh, yeah, all right, well, never mind.
Margaret, you know, we've got another segment.
Fine, go to your break and do your commercials and whatever you got to do. Frank, make me some popcorn. Put that Jiffy Pop.
Margaret.
Go to your commercials. We'll talk on the other side. Get the Redenbacher in.
The kettle corn?
Yes.
Ugh.
What do you mean, ugh?
The kettle corn just sucks, but...
Oh, I see. So I'm told when I can pick up a phone... I'm ganged up on and gang-blanked by two men.
Oh, get out of here. 877-876-PHIL. Is it a lie when we're told, turn off your cell phones, turn off your computers, they interfere with the aircraft's communication? Or is it just that the flight attendants need to get control of our attention so that they can do the job, the very good job, by the way, that they do? 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. We'll be right back.
Radio. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line is Margaret Gray. We're talking about the use of cell phones on aircraft. And you know Deirdre Knight from Atlanta, right?
Deirdre is a very, very wonderful woman. She's a wonderful literary agent, and she's a wonderful woman and a terrific writer, and she represents a lot of great writers. And I was really inspired by her comments that the, you know, they would like to use the cell phone. And
yeah, but she doesn't take it to your extreme.
Well, you know something, Phil? I go all the way. Maybe she just doesn't have, and I say this with great love for her, the guts that I've got. Have you thought about that? A lot of this world, Phil, sits back on its hands, and they wait for others to do the heavy lifting. You know this as well as I do. And in life, I think I have oftentimes, I've been that person that draws the lightning.
All right, but I want to make sure that you're drawing lightning that I understand, you know, that you're drawing the lightning to have the right to use a cell phone is a very dubious fight here.
What is dubious about trying to get some business done in the middle of a recession while some flight attendant who's got seniority, who's a year from retirement, who looks, excuse me for saying this, Phil, but because she has seniority, she gets to pick her flight to Paris and she looks like hell. Now, I'm sorry, I just said it.
Well, that was very, very nice of you. That was so, so adult. We're back in the days when flight attendants were picked for their looks. And
well, you know something? There are days that I wish we were back there.
Maybe that's true. And maybe there are days when that flight attendant's walking down the aisle and...
Don't you dare.
Did I say anything?
Don't you dare.
I didn't say anything.
I wanted to ask you a question, and I don't want to be off topic, but have you seen the Rosie O'Donnell show?
No, I haven't.
I love her. I love Rosie, but she has really given into it, hasn't she?
And I don't know. What are you talking about?
She's a lesbian, and she's giving into it. I mean, she's just, there are no constraints. There's no editing. There's no, she is giving into it. She has the biggest. I don't know. Thank God. I don't know who's directing the show, but I bet you if anybody ever gets a shot of her below the waist, she won't just fire them. I really believe they will go missing. I'm
okay, so we're not talking anymore about cell phones?
I am getting my mind off of what it was you were going to say about a flight attendant looking at me and probably thinking that I looked like the living, breathing embodiment of the walking dead. And I can tell you something.
I was not thinking that at all, Margaret.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't thinking that at all, but what I was thinking is this. I cannot join you in your fight to keep cell phones from being confiscated or...
Well, no, they're not... What are you? Are you out of your mind? They're not confiscating anything.
No, but I misspoke. To keep cell phones from being turned off, that the flight attendants and the airline have every right in the world to ask you to do that, and I cannot join you in this fight. What I've heard from you this hour is... what I've heard have been comments having to do with control, comments having to do with how stupid... That man's right. You called him stupid. And
I called both of you stupid, Phil. You know...
Well, you know, okay, so you did. That's not very adult.
Let me say something. I want to tell you something. I have been, in my life, the subject of, I think, a lot of sexism. And I've been on your program, and I've had you men gang up on me and hold me down. And
what are you talking about?
I mean, in a figurative sense. There, do you feel better?
Yeah, you know, I don't like your images, and I don't, even if you are being figurative, I think they are inappropriate.
Oh, my God, you really want to control a female, don't you? What? Don't you have one at home, Phil, that you could...
I'm not controlling you. I don't like what you're saying. Do you understand? I don't like how you put this. You're saying to me, well, you know, you're holding us down. You're pinning me down.
Yes, that's exact. Phil, I've been on your program before and tonight. You and that other man, it was tantamount to having my arms pinned behind me near the pillow. And
that is completely inappropriate.
So I won't be allowed free speech.
No, you're not allowed to... To libel this show by some ridiculous claim.
How am I libeling your show?
This asinine claim that we gang up on women and that we're ganging up on you. I gave you all the rope that you needed to hang yourself this evening. And by God, you've done a very good job of it. And
no, I have not. How dare you? I came on with a very good point.
You've hung yourself with that rope. And I can tell you...
Well, you really love saying that word hung, don't you? That's really a word you don't get to say too often, is it?
That comment right there is the same thing as... You saying that we pinned you down. And
how is that?
Because you're being inappropriate, you're being insulting, you're degrading me personally. You are
degrading you personally. Why? Because you're not,
Margaret, you are attempting to insult me. And
Phil, I came on your program tonight to talk about wanting to use my cell phone. I was immediately,
I'm sorry if you're upset.
I was immediately gagged up on by that bat. By the other bat. And then you guys are going, ha ha ha.
Margaret, she didn't do any such thing.
Oh, Frank, would you go? Would you please go? Is it a time for your bowel movement?
Yes, it is, but she didn't do anything.
He's got gender confusion.
Oh, does he? Do you think?
Thank you very much, Margaret.
Phil Hendry. Rapist. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and Ted Bell coming on with us this hour to talk about what's to talk about, man. Wait a minute, what are you going? Turn that off, but I'm telling you, if you don't... iTunes off, I'm going to kill somebody. Ted, are you there? Ted. Oh, that's just great, man.
Get the wrong phone up.
That's the phone line to Margaret Gray. Did she leave her phone open or something?
What?
I'm listening to Margaret Gray's phone line. Disconnect that phone line, if you don't mind, and let's get Mr. Bell on our ISDN. Not ISDN, is that a phone line?
No, ISDN line.
Okay, get him on a phone line. I apologize, folks. Ted Bell is supposed to be with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're going to be talking to, what do you got now?
I've got Mr. Hall on line three.
Yeah, David.
What are you doing with ISDN line?
We're on the air, you know that?
I apologize, Phil. I thought you were still in the news break. I apologize. You want to talk about it? I'll talk about it after the show if you want.
I can't hear you. What?
I said I'll talk about it after the show if you'd like.
I would like that, yeah.
All right. I just want to know, why are you talking about an ISDN line?
Well, let's talk about it after the show.
All right, we'll talk about it after the show, but I can't afford that. I won't pay for it. I won't pay the bill. I just want you to know. I will not pay the bill on an ISDN to Bell.
We don't have an ISDN. We're on the air right now. You understand that?
I know that. I told you I'll talk about it after the show.
Then we can talk about it after the show.
Fine. I just wanted you to know I'm not paying for an ISDN line.
I know, to Ted's of Beverly Hills. There isn't an ISDN line to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, then why did I hear Dickman say that?
Because he's an idiot. That's why.
I'm an idiot.
Well, I know you're an idiot. Well, let's talk about it after you get off the air.
You know what? On second thought, no, I won't talk about it after we get off the air now because I'm too angry. So we'll have to talk about it tomorrow.
What's that got to do with anything?
Because I might walk into your office and belt you, that's why.
Well, you finally got it said. Took you a few years, but you finally got it said. You want to belt me. I bet you want to bust my nose.
Yeah, you got it.
All I did was call up, and I, we can talk about it after you get off the air.
That's what you've said for the last 8 times, but it doesn't make any difference because now we're talking about it on the air, and I didn't say that there was an ISDN line going to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and you said you're not paying for one that doesn't exist, so that's great. And the audience doesn't know what the hell we're talking about.
The audience probably does on account of, you know, the thing.
You shut up, bud. Listen, I apologize for interrupting the show. I really do. I apologize, Phil. I shouldn't have interrupted the show. I had no idea. I thought I was still calling during the break. Okay? Will you accept my apologies, at least? Phil, look, I want you to know something. I consider you to be one of the most talented guys in the industry. And it would break my heart It would break my heart if you would not accept my apologies. And let bygones be bygones. I apologize for busting into your show like this. I really do. Please, accept my apologies.
All right. I accept your apologies.
I'm only kidding.
Now, hang up on that guy.
I can't do it.
I'm just kidding. I'm just...
Real funny, huh? Is this guy doing shtick now? Is that what he's doing? Why doesn't he get out and sell some airtime?
I don't know, man. I just called up about the ISDN line.
I didn't say... We don't have an ISDN line. But you don't know what an ISDN line is. So quit talking big talk that you don't know nothing about, okay?
Yeah, well, I thought that's what it was.
It's a phone line. Are you kidding me? ISDN line. All right, where are we? Here we go. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and it's time for...
Ted from Ted to Beverly Hills, and I'm glad Phil was able to work out all those problems, and now I can come on and tell you about our restaurant, which is a great steakhouse in Beverly Hills.
We're at Ted's. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And I can tell you right now, Phil, anyway, you go ahead.
Thank you. It's time for Ted's of Beverly Hills. This is our segment that we have once a week. Where Ted talks to us about things that he's interested in. He's one of our sponsors. We're very happy to have Ted on board with us. What were you saying?
Well, I'll tell you what I was saying. This has been a very difficult day. We saw the Zagat rating for our restaurant come out. It wasn't good. And let me underline that. It was not good. And then I hear the intro to my hour on your show sound extremely unprofessional. You've got that guy who talks... the way he talks, I've never heard anybody talk like that.
And who are you talking about?
The guy, the Dickman.
Talk about me, probably. I don't care. I don't talk good like you. Doesn't mean I'm dumb.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's real great. Anyway, so I heard this beginning of the hour that was as embarrassing a beginning as anything I've ever heard.
You know what? I owe you an apology, Ted. I'm very sorry. We brought up the wrong line. We didn't have your line ready to go. We had just a bunch of problems, and that's all my fault. I take full responsibility.
Well, and then you had Hall call up, and he wants to talk about money in the middle of your show.
He thought that we were in a news break, and he wanted to talk about he's not paying for an ISDN line, which is a...
Yeah, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
It's a kind of an equalized telephone line that is a studio-quality line he thought, we had going to your restaurant.
No, you don't have any ISD. You don't have any kind of equalized line. I would have known if you did. I wouldn't be on a telephone. I'm on your show as a sponsor, okay? And what do I get for my trouble? What do I get for the money that I pay to advertise on your show? I get to stand here in a kitchen on a telephone. It would be nice if, for instance, you did a live remote from Ted's of Beverly Hills once a week.
I understand that, but it's very difficult right now.
Yeah. You used to do live remotes all the time, didn't you?
I did some live remotes, and you know what? They weren't always great, man, because we have a lot of problems with those.
It would be nice if you don't want to come down here and do a live remote that you gave me a studio so I could sit here and talk and we can do a, I know that you don't like that, but if we did some kind of a two-man thing.
And, no, Ted, that's not the kind of show I do.
Yeah, I know. You don't do that, I understand that you have a certain ego. And
Ted, it's not my ego. I do a one-man show, and I bring on guests, and that's what I do,
Yeah, I know that's, quote, what you do. That's a sort of a showbiz phrase, which means, why don't you take it and stick it? That's what it means.
No, that's not what it means.
Well, I happen to... Like, Phil, I've been in Beverly Hills long enough. I've been around the Hollywood community. When somebody says to me, hey, that's not what I do, man.
I don't think I put it in quite that insulting and lackadaisical and cavalier sounding. It wasn't intended that way. It's just that's not the kind of show that I do.
Yeah, which is, in Hollywood, that means take it and shove it and twist it.
What are you talking about?
God, man, that's pretty insulting.
Yeah, well, the kid's right. The idiot's right.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I'm getting a little tired of people being hypersensitive here tonight.
What are you talking about?
Last hour I had that gray on, and she's, oh, God, Mr. Henry, what you did to me tonight, it's like you and your male callers pinned me to a bed. And
well, she wishes. she wishes.
But that's the truth. She wishes.
Yeah, that old lady, man. Okay, enough of that.
I tell you, Margaret Gray, huh?
Woo!
Oh, that was worth it. That was worth it, I got to tell you. Anyway, Phil, it was a rough start, but here we are on your show, and I'm always grateful for the time. And
Ted, you know what? I think you got great ideas. I would like to put you in a studio out there. I would like to do my show from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're going to do that. I'm going to work on that, okay?
Yeah, all right. Well, I appreciate that. I think it would be great. You know, it's just an idea. It's just an idea. I mean, I don't want to interrupt anything, but when I hear what's the guy's name? Who's the guy that you work with there?
David G. Hall.
Yeah, when I hear him crying about an ISDN line, squirting tears over, oh, I can't. You know,
well, I don't think he was doing that.
But you know what he was saying. He said, oh, God, no, not another expense. God forbid we should spend money to improve our operation, you know. Anyway.
All right, Ted, I don't have a whole lot of time left in this segment, but we're going to do an hour with you. And I know that you did want to come out with you wanted to talk about the Zagat report.
I want to talk to your audience, Phil, about the Zagat survey. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's been a bad day. It's been not only a bad day for myself, it's been a bad day for our servers, for our wonderful, wonderful chefs, for everybody that works at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And I get the Zagat survey, and I walked outside, and I took a walk. I must have walked for miles. I walked as clear down Santa Monica Boulevard as I could before I was getting into the real the rough area, and I cut down to Wilshire, and I was in a Wilshire corridor at that point, and I didn't care. I didn't care. I wanted to get lost. And
well, what happened?
What happened was the Zagat survey came out, and they gave us a four star, a 3.5 star, and this is the part that made me want to thank God it didn't happen, but it made me want to just grab a stranger and end their life, twist their head off. I looked at this Zagat survey, and they had Outback Steakhouse rated above ours. And I remember where I was when I read that. I was walking, and I looked down, and I must have hit the corner of Dayton, right on Wilshire, and I just started to cry. I cried, and I cried like a wailing baby, and I couldn't stop crying.
Well, Ted, what is that? Tell me about the Zagat survey.
The Zagat survey is the Bible for restaurants. You know that.
Yeah, I do know that. But I wouldn't call it a Bible.
What do you mean you wouldn't call it a Bible?
I don't reference the Zagat survey, okay? I don't go to the Zagat survey when I'm looking for a good restaurant.
Well, what do you do?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth. Come on.
Are you kidding? That's how you guys got going. Word of mouth. People will say, you know, hey, there is a really nice place. I know this person who had a restaurant in this town, and they're opening up a new one here. Let's go because the food's great. I can tell you that in my life, I've read the Zagat survey, and I'm being honest now.
Go ahead. How many times?
I'll tell you that I've looked at that book tops maybe 10 times.
You're lying to me.
I'm telling you, I've read the Zagat survey doesn't mean anything to me, okay?
Well, Phil, it's got to mean something to me. It has to mean something to me, because even if you don't read it, sooner or later, as I'm standing there greeting people coming to the restaurant, someone, and it's generally an elderly woman, will say, oh, I saw the Zagat survey, and I'm telling you, I'm frightened for what I might do. I'm frightened for what I might do.
Well, let's talk about this, because I think that you cannot overreact, all right?
I'm not overreacting.
I'm telling you, in my entire life, and I know a lot of you guys the same way, we know the Zagat survey. We've seen the book someplace. Maybe a friend has it. Maybe we've seen it. Maybe we've seen their Zagat survey in the window. Many restaurants are very proud of the rating that they get. I've seen that book maybe 10 times. I've referenced it. I mean, I've actually looked in it for a good restaurant 3 times in my whole life. Because that's just not how I look for a good restaurant. All right.
Yeah, but with this diet, you're going to be out here look for no restaurant either.
Yeah, that's right, man. Okay. Yay, made a point.
Well, it's true.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Do you guys reference the Zagat survey when you're looking for a restaurant? Ted's restaurant, he feels, has been unfairly rated by the Zagat survey. 877-876-7445. 7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Oh, I apologize. We're trying to, where's the Ted?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Hold on, Ted. We're on the air.
Hold on. We're on the air. Get doing. Here at Ted's. Hey, Phil, man. What? Hey, Phil, are we on the air right now?
Yes, we are.
Oh, for God's sake. Well, you know something? I got to tell you something. I did not know, and all I heard was just absolute confusion on your end.
I know.
What are you people doing there tonight, okay?
Bud,
well, no, you can't blame that guy. Look at him. How do you blame him?
What does that mean, look at me?
Look at you. What are you people doing? You came in at the top of the hour, you butchered my open. If it was a baby, you would have tossed it under the wheels of a tank.
That is...
Are you going to get indignant now, Phil? You don't think what I'm saying is true?
I apologize. You're absolutely right. I mean, I can't defend. We had a collection of technical mishaps that came together at the top of the show and right then. And it's entirely my fault.
Yeah, but you're not commenting on what I said to you. And I think your audience would like to know. And I think prospective sponsors would like to know. If my sponsorship of your show was a baby, you have just tossed it underneath the treads of a Mark IV German tank. Isn't that true?
I'm not even going to comment on that. That's the most insane, asinine thing I've ever heard.
It sounds pretty interesting, though.
Isn't it, though? So you're not going to comment on how you have taken my sponsorship, which is an infant in many ways, a soft pink infant, and you and your competence is a Panzer tank.
Oh, will you cut it out, for God's sake? No, it isn't. We had a couple of technical mishaps. I haven't took... My God, what an image. You in that gray.
Well, I was trying to make a point.
Well, you made your point. You could have made your point without such a horrifying image.
Well, Phil, that's how I feel. I feel as if my sponsorship of your show is a swaddling infant.
Yeah, and I know, and I'm a tank. And let me ask you a question. If I'm the tank and you're the infant, who threw you under my treads?
What? What did you just say?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
Butt out before I kick your ass. You just said, you're a baby, I'm the tank. Who threw you under the tank?
You stopped and got out of the tank and came and got me.
I stopped and...
Go straight to hell.
Yeah, what do you want me to do, man? Mr. Bell sponsored this hour. He may not call back.
I could care less if he calls back.
That's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life.
That may be the single funniest thing I've heard this week.
What?
What? It was somehow I got sucked into a conversation about how his sponsorship... Woo! Man, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. 877-876... If the sponsorship of this show... Let's go to a phone call here. We got Roy on the phone. Roy, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing really good. I'm really happy to be on your program. I'm enjoying your program very much tonight.
Thank you.
Boy, I'll tell you, Phil, you said it with that. That guy sounds like some kind of a nut of what he did.
Well, you know, he's one of my sponsors, and he...
I mean, he was talking and talking and talking, and I said to my wife, where's he going with all of this? I just think I think you handled it very well. I enjoy it very much, and my wife and I both, we listen every night. And what you did was just, that was funny.
Well, I mean, what I did, all I did was laugh, you know. I mean, that was it.
Right. Well, I still think you handled it very well. Phil, I want to get to the point of my call, if you don't mind. I read the reviews that you had pointed to for the book Wet Goddess.
Yeah, that's that weird freak.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it is pretty far out there, and I read it, and he said that the teeth of the... He got aroused by the dolphin somehow. We're going to go swimming with dolphins in Miami here in the next month because I'm retired. My wife and I have always dreamed of swimming with dolphins, and I'm concerned, to be honest with you. Do you think there's any truth in the book? Or...
No, there's no truth in that book. It's a farce.
Well, we're concerned, and I'll tell you why, Phil. If I get into the water with a dolphin and I, for some unknown reason, attracted or aroused or I'm otherwise preoccupied with this fish and my wife is having a problem, you see what I'm saying?
And no, I don't see what you're saying. I don't see what you're saying. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I read the book. Not the book, but the review.
Your kid, get out of here. If he becomes aroused by a dolphin.
Why'd you hang up on him? He's an old man from up north.
He's an old man from up north what?
I know that guy. His name's Roy. He's not a crank.
Well, I don't give a damn if he's not a crank. He's not calling my show to ask me questions about, say, what if I go swimming with dolphins and I actually do get aroused?
Mr. Bell wanted to come back on.
Mr. Bell wants to come back on after he told me to go straight to hell, huh? All right. We'll be back with Ted Bell when we come back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What if I get aroused swimming with dolphins?
Kind of like a logical question.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, that's interesting. I'll tell you, Ted's going to kill me. Ted?
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
This portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's Beverly. Ted, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Ted's a what? You just said this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Bevy?
Ted's of Beverly Hills. I apologize.
Man, I tell you, you don't like the image. You don't like the metaphor. But I don't think there has been ever a metaphor created that has been more appropriately applied. The sponsorship of your program is a newborn infant. The way you've handled it is a German tank. Now you ask me who threw the baby under the tank's wheels. And
okay, all right, enough of that, man. It was a ridiculous statement. I felt what I said was stupid, and your comparison is stupid.
No, I'm going to keep going with it. You ask me a question, I'm going to answer, because you think that I just come up with these things. That's how violated I feel, that I'm a swaddling pink infant. Of course I'm a grown man. Of course I've got a business. Of course I know all these things. But when it comes to the world of media, I'm not as savvy as you are. And I think a lot of people would side with me with that. So I sponsor your program. I am like an infant. You stop your tank. You crawl out of the turret, crawl down, walk over to me in your jack boots. And
oh, I'm a Nazi now.
No, you're not a Nazi, okay?
Well, the jackboot thing...
Yeah, just hold on. You walk over to me with your jackboot... Well, who... You walk over with your jackboots, you take me, Ted Bell, and I'm wrapped in a blanket, and you look at me. I'm an infant, okay? And
But you're Ted Bell.
What I'm saying is my sponsorship of your show is like that infant. It's me. So you're looking down at me.
Okay, what am I, looking at a baby version of you?
Don't be asinine, Phil. I'm trying to make a point.
All right, you're making a point. You're telling me that I got out of my tank.
You got out of your tank. If you wouldn't mind listening to me, I'd really appreciate it, because then we could actually have an adult conversation.
Okay.
I am, for the purposes of this metaphor, I'm an infant. Am I a baby Ted Bell? Okay, yes, I'm a baby Ted Bell, but I'm also my business, okay? So if you're pushing me, you're looking at an infant that has my face. Okay, and you come over, you're in a tank, but you still look like you. You take me, and...
Do you talk? And I'm not trying to be a smartass.
What do you mean, do I talk? What does that get to do with anything?
You told me you were an adult version of a baby.
I'm looking at you as an infant, yes. But again, it's not me, it's...
I know, it's your sponsorship of my show.
Yes. So I look up at you and I say, oh my God, Phil, what are you going to do to me? See, you're making this into a big joke. And
no, Ted, I don't have to make it into a big joke. You're telling me that you're a baby.
No, the sponsor... If I have to say this one more time...
All right, the sponsorship of my show is a baby.
Yes. And it looks like me.
It looks like an adult you.
Yes, okay? You happy?
Well, I don't know what that means, okay?
It's a baby body with my head. If you're pushing me...
All right.
So you take me, after you got out of your tank, you place me right underneath the tread of the tank, you get back into your tank, and say something like, Sieg Heil.
So I am a Nazi, and I am a stormtrooper. Okay, I get it.
Well, Phil, you're the one that has carved up not the first break, not just the second break, but you did it again just now. Are you going to apologize?
Yeah, of course I'm going to apologize.
I knew you were going to apologize, but it doesn't make it any less tolerable that I have a Mark IV German tank rolling over my head.
Well, Mr. Bell, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah?
At least it's rolling over the head. That's the only part of the baby what looked like you.
Is that? Because if he's joking, the next time I come to your restaurant, I'm looking him or come to your
radio station.
Yeah, when I come to yours, I'm looking him up, Dickman. Okay, Dickman, I'm looking for you.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking for you. I got my eye on you.
What's that? Is that?
Don't go gay. It's not.
All right, we have spent now the last 8 minutes on the stupidest stuff I've ever talked about in my life when you were supposed to be on here talking about the Zagat survey.
Yes.
Okay. Are we going to talk about that?
Yes, I want to talk about that because I feel they did a terrible disservice to me, and I feel that they have done a terrible disservice to an awful lot of people in that they have placed my restaurant below Outback Steakhouse. I want to just let that sink in. Kids of Beverly Hills doesn't even rise to the level of Outback in the minds of the, I don't know what they are.
Let's go to Art, Santa Monica. Art, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm calling. I wanted to talk to the gentleman. Kids of Beverly Hills. Yes, sir. Sir, I've eaten at a lot of restaurants, and I've never eaten at your restaurant. I don't think anybody, and I don't think it's an insult, Outback Steakhouse is an excellent steakhouse. It's a chain restaurant. My restaurant is a unique, singular dining experience. You can't go all over the country and find Ted's.
Well, what I'm saying is if there's more Outback Steakhouses and there's more opportunity for people to sample at Outback Steakhouse, then they're going to naturally, I think, be more familiar with it and probably give it a higher rating.
No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Well, what do they do, Ted?
What do they do? They send a guy, he sits down, he eats a meal. He doesn't tell you he's coming over at all. And then he leaves, and then he goes back to Zagat's, and he says, that tasted like somebody threw up in the pasta bowl. I give it a zero, or whatever they do, okay?
And well, should they tell you that they're coming?
I would think that that's a polite thing to do.
But doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Yeah, I agree. Now, hold on for a minute. Your name is what?
My name is Art.
Okay, Art, I'm in the restaurant business. What business are you in?
I'm a pilot.
You're a pilot? Mr. Henry's in the radio business.
So I'm talking about restaurants, and I think I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you right now that it is not fair for Zagat or anybody else to walk into a restaurant, sit down, order a meal, don't tell anybody who you are, leave, sneak out as cagey away as you snuck in, go back to the Zagat's office, and write a review that basically boils my food down to the level of fertilizer. You think that's fair?
Well, I think it's a fair review of your restaurant, sir, that if you were to know that they were coming, and perhaps... Go ahead. And what? Are you accusing me of being dishonest?
No, hey, Ted, no, he's not doing it. He's saying, you know...
No, I know what he's saying. Go ahead.
Well, I just think that if they came to your restaurant and you knew they were on their way, you might make it... You might change it...
Change it to what?
To make it better.
How can I make something that's already great better?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, go ahead.
You know something, Ted? Let the guy finish. Quit making him nervous.
I'm listening.
I mean, I'm just saying that if they know that you're on the way, and they, I mean, if you know they're on the way.
I know what you're trying to say, Art.
Let him say it, okay?
No, you're flustering the man, and I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all, Art.
I just think...
No, I know what you think. You think, and I agree with him, that if you... Are you trying to tell me, Ted, and my audience, that if you knew Zagat's survey was coming to your restaurant, you wouldn't put on a little something special?
What am I going to put on? What am I going to do different that I don't already do great? What way am I going to make the steaks? What way am I going to make the drinks? What way am I going to make the salad? Okay? You guys act as if I've never been in this business before.
Do you remember when I told you that I was coming over with my friend from the LA Times, Bert Stussy? You remember that?
Yeah.
And you told me afterwards that you had them vacuum and wipe up some... you said that somebody had been in there and threw up.
Oh, come on, will you? Of course. You got a guy coming from a newspaper, and I had a lake of vomit at the end of my bar, and the place was filthy. What are you trying to say? Are you trying to tell me that
I'm telling you, and I'm telling this caller that you. I know that you've cleaned the place up.
Well, see, that I wouldn't mind. You know, but hold on for a minute there, Mr. Pilot. You know, I'm talking to Henry.
No, but I'm just saying, it wouldn't bother me if you cleaned the place up and made it a place that I want to sit down in.
And what do you mean sit down in? My place is a top. My place is five spoons. Five spoons out of five on the, what was the one film that I told you about? Was it the Spoon Book or something like that?
I don't know.
There's a book where you get five spoons. Okay? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here.
Then say something, for God's sake. There's a book where you get five spoons. And I got all five. Does anybody talk about that?
Well, what is the name of it?
It's the Spoon Book. I don't know. It's a book that gives you spoons.
Now, you better calm down, Ted, okay?
I'm trying to calm down and tell you guys, I'm trying to give you guys the facts of life, and you won't listen. Now, when you came over with Bert Stussy from the LA Times, yeah, I knew a writer was coming, and I had him clean the place up because it looked like hell. I mean, people had been throwing food around. There were drinks spilled. And we'd had a family in, and one of the kids, I don't know what they did, and to this day, I'm not really sure what it was, but we had to bring in a service pro to clean it up. To this day, I don't even know what it was. It wasn't food, I know that. It wasn't anything. I don't know. It was a biomass.
Oh, God.
Jesus. All right,
but anyway, you called up the, you definitely cleaned the place up.
I cleaned it up. I thought you guys were talking about the way I make the food. No, I'm just saying, you would put your best foot forward, wouldn't you? Usually my place is in beautiful condition. Usually my place looks gorgeous.
All right, well, the fact of the matter was that it wasn't that night. And
is Daddy done? Are you going to blow everybody off and go on your merry way? Is that it? So everyone's left with the impression that my place is like eating with an open diaper nearby? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, I'm not trying to tell. Thank you very much, Art.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
No, I'm not trying to tell you that.
Wait, did you just
cut that guy off?
No, I did not. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm trying to tell you that it would be a normal thing, just as that gentleman did, for you to clean your restaurant up or otherwise do something to make it presentable for the people from Zagat's. Apparently, Zagat's came in there, and they might have even come in there on the day that this...
That what?
That you were talking about the restaurant being in bad shape.
Wait a minute. Was that guy Stussy from Zagat's?
No, he was not. I'm just saying maybe they came in on the same day or during that same period.
Okay, so I'm penalized because my place occasionally isn't the cleanest place in the world. Okay? But the food. And that's what I've always been about.
All right, that's all I was talking about. Let's take a break here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell, we have our news and information hour coming up.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
This is Ted Bell. Come on down to our restaurant.
By the way, we have gotten people asking about that. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Yeah, you know what, Phil? I'm through answering that question. I told everybody why we did that commercial, and we did that commercial for one reason. It's about steak. And if you got one more dumbass saying, "What do you mean by put our meat in your mouth?" And I want to put my meat in your mouth. I have never heard people behave like such children. And
well, you got to admit, it's a slogan that is a little bit of a double entendre.
Oh, well, in the minds of your audience, yeah, I would get that. There's no question at all in the mind of your audience that it's a double entendre, because to me, it says what it says. It's about steak. Steak! Not about anything else. That's the part that bothers me.
All right, David G. Hall is back on the line with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. And, David, I know that you're at Maria's in Pasadena, right?
That is right, Phil. It's a great restaurant, and we are dining here with a couple of people, potential advertisers. Ted, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. Am I to understand you're dining at Maria's restaurant in Pasadena?
That, by the way, no relation.
Excuse me, Phil. I'm talking to your boss.
I want people to know, no relation to the Maria that I know.
I didn't hear you, Ted. Say it again. You didn't hear me because Mr. Henry was butting in. I wanted to say...
No, hold on for a minute. I'm on the air. I'm doing my show.
All right. No, don't have an argument with the guy, okay? I wanted to say you're over at another restaurant. Yes, sir, I am. We're at a very good restaurant here in Pasadena. Well, you know that I'm sponsoring a portion of this program, right? Yes, sir, I understand that. And you're at another restaurant and you're calling in? I wanted to ask you some questions about the cleanliness of your place because you gentlemen were talking. I know you're a sponsor, Ted, and we certainly want our audience to be aware that your place is safe. And yes, my place is safe. Are you two guys, is this some kind of a joke?
And Ted, you were here talking about Zagat's. You got a low rating, and that's not exactly the greatest advertising. Now, David's asking about the safety of your restaurant.
Safety in terms of what? In terms of disease. And, you know what, yeah, it's very safe. We haven't had any yellow fever or AIDS. But what is he getting upset about?
It's a little dicey. I mean, we're talking here.
Well, I was sitting down to a nice steak, and I thought, boy, Phil's on here with Ted right now. I thought maybe I'll call in to give you guys moral support. Oh, well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. What, are you angry? Yeah, I'm angry. Of course I'm angry. Is my restaurant safe? You're calling in from some joint in Pasadena. I'm sponsoring this hour. You call me up and you ask me, is my restaurant safe?
I guess, Ted, it all flows from the...
No, I know what it flows from. You were talking about the fact that you had vomit on the floor. The day that Henry came in, not all the time. Well, that's all I heard.
That's what's going to happen. Some people are going to hear that, and they're going to take notice of that.
Oh, well, you know what? This has been a big, fat waste of my money. Being on your show and having that guy call in, I don't even know what that guy was, that art guy, talking about... You know, the fact that it was my restaurant was filthy.
I think what he was trying to say, and it was a very good thing, he was saying that your food is great, but maybe it's the atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere. That would put me off if I walked in and there was just filth everywhere. You know? Yeah, no kidding? Yeah. Gee, I never knew that. Thank you very much for that information. I will be sure to make those adjustments.
Well, there's no point in being sarcastic.
Well, there's every point in being sarcastic, Phil. Like, I don't know that. Okay.
You were talking there about the fact that when I came over to your restaurant, the place was filthy, there was vomit, there was crumbs, there was some crap that some kid left. All of this leading up to the low rating that you got from Zagat's, which may very well be the reason, not your food. Your food's great. Everybody knows that.
No, David Hall doesn't know that because he's over at Maria's right now having himself a steak. I came over here.
Why did you go over there, David?
Thank you. I came over to this restaurant. First of all, I can't always be at your restaurant. Can't I go to another one? What? Well, you're having a steak. Is that what you're having?
Yeah.
Well, if you wanted a steak, why don't you come to a steakhouse? Oh, boy. You can't even answer that. Both of you guys can only end, the only proper end for both of you is hitting the tail end of a gasoline tanker on a freeway.
Why do you laugh?
I don't know. It just kills me. It's funnier than hell. And by the way, why did David hang up?
Yeah, I noticed that. I don't know.
David, you know, I know that Ted hung up, but David hung up too?
You see, he hung up at the same time.
I think that David got... I apologize for that, folks. A little put out is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Both of you guys, there's only one way for you guys to end. Let me just say that I've been to Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's a great restaurant. The steaks are delicious. It's a rowdy place sometimes. It's a loud and cacophonous, and it's a party place. No, it's not a bar. It's a restaurant. It's a classy joint. It's in Beverly Hills. But a lot of people go in there, a lot of people from the neighborhood, a lot of people from the city, and a lot of people from across the country who've heard of the place. And I suppose it's gotten a reputation, but I don't think that that's a deserved reputation. Zagat's given them 3.5 stars. And make an Outback state. You know, Outback is great, but it's my own personal opinion. Ted's is better. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. As we talk here about the...
You know, that's not going to save you.
As we talk here about our news and information hour that's coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Won't save you.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what I'm talking about, you know?
Well, that's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, it's about what you're talking about. You know, I was looking at the Phil TV and HD picture that we have here, and I do look pasty, man. I look bad.
Yeah, you look like you need some sun.
Man. But we don't exactly have a makeup lady around here, man, so I can't, you know, make it look groovier or something.
What do you mean a makeup lady?
They got people like in the movies and stuff and TV where they put makeup on your face so you don't look pasty and washed out. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen people in a makeup like what they do on TV shows.
Yes, exactly. The reason why you got to put on makeup is look at my freaking face. I got two big hot lights on me here. And it's like, there's Phil, no sun, you know.
Well, man, you live on the beach. You ought to go get yourself a tan.
I'm like, I can't go and get a tan. I got that Irish skin, man. I'm going to get freaking skin cancer.
Yeah, not everybody's got black skin like you.
I don't like the way you say that.
Watch it. Every time he says something, you gotta race bait him.
I didn't race bait nobody talking about black skin.
Hold on. All I'm saying here, gentlemen, is that I am obviously, I could use some makeup. So maybe at some point we will hire a makeup person. What about your niece?
I don't know, man. She's going to school. She's going to learn about, she want to be in the movies, man, not doing this.
Well, this is a good way to start. What's wrong with this?
Yeah, but she wants to do like TV shows and everything. And another thing, and I'm not trying to be racial or anything, okay? Okay?
Yeah, okay.
But she's black, so she only has black people makeup.
Man, you can buy white people makeup. What are you, an idiot or something?
You can buy white people makeup. She's black. She only has black people makeup.
Well, ain't she?
Yeah, she's black, man, but that don't mean she's not going to work on white people, too. What an idiot, man. What a god.
Take it easy, will you? That's about the dumbest thing I ever heard. Anyway, so maybe we'll get somebody. So your niece, no good, huh? Well, we'll find somebody to slap a little makeup on this kid's face so I don't look like death. Because I'm telling you, you know, every day, man. And I remember when I used to do overnights, and this is not exactly an overnight show for us on the West Coast, folks. I know a lot of you guys that are listening to us, it's very much an overnight show. It's 1 to 4. But we're off the air at 1 a.m. But when I was really doing the overnight shows, I would come in, and people would be shocked at how just pale I was, man. I'm, you know, I'll never forget my first couple of nights in Minneapolis, and I was working till 5. And
you didn't go overnight in Minneapolis, and then in Minneapolis.
Ha ha! You didn't know how to pronounce that.
I said it.
Wait, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
No, shut up, Robert.
Minneapolis. Apples.
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
There you go.
You sure that's how you say it?
Yeah, Minneapolis.
Well, that sounds too easy.
It is easy. Minneapolis. Why do you think it's supposed to be hard?
Too many letters.
I don't give a damn if there's too many letters. That's the name of the town. Minneapolis. What about... It's anyway, Minneapolis... No, I didn't do overnights. I did... a couple of times I did overnights. They punished me. I actually was put on... I've never seen anything like this before, but I was actually put on the overnight because I was punished by this jackass they had for a general manager at this station. I mean, this guy was something else. He was something else. He puts me on the overnight. So I said, what the hell am I doing on midnight to 5? And they go, well, that's the... Well, what? Well... And finally, the PD says to me, it's kind of punitive, Phil. What are you talking about, man? I'm a pro. What do you mean punitive? You're going to stick me on the overnight show to teach me a lesson? Oh, what are you talking about? Well, he said, well, why don't you go talk to the guy? So I go talk to this stupid clown, right? Get a load of this. This guy says to me, did you do the Effenheimer? Now, understand something, folks. I'm not from Minnesota, so I don't speak whatever Norwegian bullcrap they speak up there. And I'm telling you, I'm not being facetious. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Were you talking about the F word?
Yeah, eventually that's what it was. Because he said, the guy says to me, I said, did you say Effenheimer? What are you talking about, man? Effenheimer. Well, are you trying to tell me the F word? I mean, is that what you mean? Yes. No. No, I didn't use that word. Well, some people thought that I had to put up with this from this dumbass and this stupid radio station. And at the end of the year, I had a year contract with these people. And you want to know something? The most amazing thing of all, at the end of the year, they offered me to extend my, they wanted to extend my deal. And fortunately for me, I got offered a job in Miami. And that's, believe you me, when you go from Minneapolis to Miami, you've heard the expression, died and gone to heaven. Jack, that's exactly what it is. For me, it was. I got out of the car, driving to Miami. I got out of the car. I went down to that beach. And I just sort of stayed on it for 4 days. I stayed and I just smelled the ocean and I felt the rays of the sun. And I got to Miami at a pretty decent time of the year. I got there in, what was it, April. Now, of course, the summer months in Florida are horrific. It's hurricane weather. It's rain. But it's also heat. A lot of people bitch about the humidity. Look, you know, stop with the humidity. I'll take humidity if I got sun, man. I love sun. And I like it hot. I don't give a damn. Yeah, humidity sucks. But, man, I can jump in the ocean. I can. There's a lot of things I can do with a humid day. If it's freezing cold, you can't go no place. You can't go outside. You have to, even if you're staying indoors, you know, you're staying in four walls. You can't go anywhere. You can't do, what the hell are you going to do?
Probably sit and eat.
Let me tell you, that's exactly what they do in those states. They sit on their ass all winter long and they eat. And they eat and they eat and they have festivities where they eat and they have gatherings where they eat and parties and everybody eat. They have dinner, they have lunch, and they have breakfast, but they also have eat here and eat there and eat all of the. So, you know, if you do go out, you're expected to have a dish full of hot, you know.
Crap.
Hot crap, yeah. No, it's, you know, casseroles and.
But they call that a covered plate. How do you know? You still told me.
I told you guys it's called a covered plate. And you go to these things, you know, bring a covered plate. Well, I got to, you know, that may be fine for a lot of people, but if you gave me the choice between sitting and sweating in the tropics and there's an ocean that I could dive into, or sit and eat at a covered dish thing or whatever the hell and it's freezing ass cold, there's no choice. Brother, you know, call me weird.
I know what you mean. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be that way, but.
Yeah, that'd be a toss-up for me.
Not a toss-up for me at all, man. Not for me at all. I know exact. So in any event, this guy is Effenheimer. I remember I came off of this phone conversation. I hung the phone up. I remember thinking, what do I got to do? Do I got to learn a whole new language now? Is that what I got to do? I don't know what this guy was talking about. Finally, he says, do you mean the F word? He says, yeah, I never said the F word. Why don't you go back and pull the freaking logging tapes? Ah, and this was the best, because the stations in those days, and I guess they still do, keep logger tapes.
What's that?
Logger tape, keeping a log of the show by recording it, okay? Okay, I said, well, why don't you pull the logger tape? Well, they hadn't replaced the tape. Uh-huh. They hadn't replaced the tape, which basically meant this. The tape was so degraded that they had to put in a new tape, and they hadn't done it yet. And God help them, if the FCC, for whatever reason, decided to pull that tape because the stupid ass that complained about me, some longtime listener to the station, filed a complaint to the FCC, and they're asking to listen to the tape. They wouldn't have been there. So I remember thinking, man, you know, this is very weird. This is, like, insane. So he put me on the overnight show. And so from there, I for like a week, I'm doing the overnight show as punishment for saying a word that I didn't say. And people said, you look like hell, man.
Yeah, like you do now.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I mean, come on, man. You got to go get a suntan or something.
Yeah. Why don't you go out and get a suntan, or you get one of them tan, what do you call that?
Yeah, get like tan, or copper tan. Or
yeah, copper tan.
Copper tan? You mean copper tone quick tan?
Yeah, that's it.
Are you nuts, man, on me? You know that stuff turns you orange.
It don't turn you orange if you got enough of a tan.
Well, do I look like I got a tan?
No.
I put that copper tan on, man. I'm going to look orange, Jack. I'll look as orange as that orange still that we use, that orange slide we use during the commercial break. All right, we have Janine Garofalo, who is the comic and actress, and she was on with Keith Olbermann on Countdown. And every time that Garofalo and Olbermann, I got to tell you something, folks. I mean, I'm very liberal when it comes to social issues. I see no reason why not to be. I see no reason why not to be. I believe in human rights. I believe, I've told you that I'm a conservative guy when it comes to economics. When it comes to human beings, I'm pretty liberal. I don't see any reason why we slow down or go slow with the liberties of human beings. That's just me. I'm not trying to say I'm right. That's how I feel. But when Garofalo and Olbermann get together, man, it's a whole new kind of train wreck. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, these two people are such a caricature. I don't think they really understand that there are a couple of white people sitting there trying to talk like they got the inside track on, you know, the whole minority viewpoint, even to the point where at one show I heard Olbermann calling Michael Steele a self-hating black guy. I never seen this guy sit down with a black journalist, anybody black, in the history of his whole show. Have you?
I can't remember.
What about you?
What about, yeah, he had on, like Jesse Jackson.
You think he did? You don't know.
Well, I'm pretty sure he did.
Well, what show was it?
I don't know, but wouldn't he?
Yeah, see, you'd think he'd get him on
And why don't you shut up, man? I'm talking to Phil. I don't know.
I don't know whether he had Jesse Jackson on. I you know, a Bud saying I think is right. You just think because you think that Oberman should have had Jesse Jackson on. All right, we're going to talk about that coming up. And Gloria Stefan, that's right, Miami Sound Machine. She likes Herman Cain.
It's good enough for me.
Me too. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We got Chef, actually, no, is this Roland Schwinn?
Yeah.
Roland Schwinn is joining us, and Roland with is on the line with us. Mr. Schwinn is with an organization called Pride, and I guess we should tell people, Roland, that Pride is about taking pride in your physical, in your physical self, whether you are overweight or not, huh?
Pride is about taking pride in your physical self when you're overweight. It's not whether or not, it's when you're overweight.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's good to talk with you. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
It's great to talk with you, Phil, and I wanted to call up. I've been driving with Sally Benedict and some of the other people from our Pride chapter in Los Angeles. And I wanted to give a shout-out to your local, were you from Pasadena?
I'm from Arcadia, Pasadena.
All right, well, I want to give a shout-out to the Royal Chop House. It's on a Royal Parkway. Did you know the place?
I don't know. It's called what?
It's called the Royal Chop House.
I don't...
Hold on. We're having some cookies. Put the cookies down. And I'm not driving. Bill Benedict, Sally's husband's driving right now. It's a whole Royal Chop House,
The Arroyo Chop House?
Yes, the Arroyo Chop House.
Oh, I know that, yeah, it's delicious.
That is one of the highest rated steakhouses in Southern California. You see, Ruth Chris. There's another place up in, hold on for a minute, I gotta swallow this. Well, I came over for a chapter meeting, it was at Tiffin, what else do you have, Sally?
Chicken and rolls.
Do you have chicken and dumplings?
No, I didn't say chicken and dumplings. I said chicken and rolls.
Okay, chicken and rolls. And you know, there are a lot of people be asking about your organization, and
right.
It doesn't seem to people that it's healthy. Can you explain to them that it is, or in your view?
I will very much so. It's healthy because of the psychological, and we underplay that an awful lot from our society. If you can live the way that you want to live, and you live the way that you want to live that is respectful of others, and you are able to do your job, and you're able to take care of your family, and people think well of you, but what difference does it make what size you are, as long as you enjoy your lunch? I enjoy to eat, and my weight is, that it's no one's business.
You never give your weight out, do you?
Never. It's none of anyone's business how much I weigh.
When people see you, do they ever take a guess?
Well, if you think about taking a guess on someone's weight, if you think about that, it's insulting to meet a person for the very first time and have that person say, "You know, how much do you weigh? Let me take a guess. Are you 400 pounds? Are you 300 pounds?" And it's insulting. So the pride is pride in what and who you are. Hold on, I gotta get my breath here.
You guys are in the car.
We're in the car, yeah, but I was putting the chicken away and I got winded a little bit. Go ahead.
I'll take the phone.
I got the phone. Don't you dare take the phone. I got the phone. I'm talking to my friend Phil Hendry.
I gotta ask you this because people are gonna ask. You said you were putting chicken away.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of a picnic here in the back seat of the car as we're coming back from the Pride meeting. And I was putting the chicken away, and I lost, but just got a little winded doing it.
You got winded putting chicken away in Tupperware?
I did. I got wind to put it in the way of Tupperware. If you want to make an issue out of that, we can go. And I know that I don't have any problem, Phil. If someone says how utterly slovenly for you to get winded picking up a fork, and that happened to me once when we were having dinner at the mayor's conference in Los Angeles, and it was Mayor Reardon at the time, Phil, and he was celebrating, I forget what it was, the 60th anniversary of the Patrick Restaurant, which is one of the greatest restaurants in Los Angeles.
Yes, it is.
And I picked up the fork to eat my omelet, which was a beautiful, it was a 6-inch omelet, and I got tired. And I said, I need to rest, and I held the fork up so that we would be ready to go, but I needed to rest a little bit. And no one gave me any kind of look. No one said that I was being ridiculous. No one said it to me about it. So that you would talk about it.
Well, I apologize. To me, it sounds unusual for someone to get winded putting chicken away.
It's not unusual to have pride. We take pride in who we are.
But then you say that you got tired lifting a fork up.
At the mayor's meal. Yeah, it wasn't the mayor's meal. That's what I called it. It was the mayor's conference, but it was a meal.
But, I mean, you got tired lifting the fork from the plate?
I lifted the fork from the plate up to where my mouth was, and I was suddenly just exhausted. So you can make of that what you want to do, Phil. But I wanted to tell you there was Roots, and there was one place called Tuna Steakhouse, and then Carlito's Cardano. They're both the Carlito.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you very much, Roland. Good to talk to you.
All right, bye, man.
Dude, there comes a point, I don't understand what he's saying anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
But he was saying that he got winded putting chicken away, and he got tired lifting a fork. I don't want to comment on him. He called us with a heads up on the Arroyo Chop House, which he says is a great restaurant, and we will take his word for that. That's in Pasadena. If you ever come to California, folks, and you want a good steakhouse, and Ruth's Chris is terrific, but there's Ruth's Chris all over the country. These are places that are kind of local to California. Taylor's Steakhouse in La Cañada and the Arroyo Chop House. That's been there a long time, man. This is the places they recommend, right?
Well, it says 89% of the people on the dinner like it.
What did you say, man?
No. 89%.
All right, well, then say that. Don't go, Carlito's Gardel, 93%. The BLT Steak on West Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood, BLT Steak, 90%. Pretty good ratio, I think. So we've got Janine Garofalo and this and Keith Olbermann with this little bit of sound. And we'll get into the entire context of their jackass comments. Gloria Stefan, who says she likes the message of Herman Cain. Gloria Stefan is an actual, real-life, living, breathing member of a minority, although, I don't know, Mr. Olbermann and Ms. Garofalo in their own ways, or Garofalo maybe.
What do you mean in their own way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Mr. Olbermann, I don't know. Are they Jewish? You know,
what's that got to do with it?
Well, Jewish people are a minority, and they've also had their struggles, so I don't want to be Rick Sanchez here, okay? We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, take that out of the Tupperware. Ah, yes.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and every night we're here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we have our website, philhendryshow.com, that we direct you to so you can watch live streaming video of our show, as well as listen to the audio, as well as access our archives, as well as access our daily podcast. There's a world of fun at philhendryshow.com. There's a very lively comment section with all kinds of douchebags. Well, most people are nice in there. The occasional
Anyway, so you can... I mean, it is amazing you get people to pay for it, though, you know?
Yeah, just people say they hate your guts, and they pay for it.
They pay to hate my guts?
Yeah, what do you mean?
No, they pay for the subscription.
Yes, that's true, that's true. That is, I consider that to be one of the great achievements of our show, is that we have a uncensored comment section, and to comment in our uncensored comment section, you must be a backstage pass holder. So can you imagine paying money to come to my website to complain about me? That's everybody should do that. If people got to bitch about you, you know, make them pay you first. And that's a fee that I can't describe what that is. But if I could somehow articulate that to the federal government, man.
Yeah, they'd probably get rid of all what do you call it?
Like the deficit and everything.
Yeah, the deficit.
I doubt it. All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And let's talk now about what I was talking about with you about the thing. Janine Garofalo, I think is how you pronounce that. Yes. She is a terrific actress and a terrific stand-up comic. She has a great many opinions. There's nothing wrong with that. And, of course, we're always saying, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not into playing the opinions of movie stars or actors because I don't care. And generally they offend me, you know, the opinions that are held by those people. I've rarely heard anyone in the Hollywood business express a political opinion that didn't make me want to regurgitate. Occasionally there's someone. But nonetheless, they're interesting from another standpoint. They're interesting because... this is a very, very, almost a hermetically sealed world. I don't think these guys know how dumb they sound. Now, here is Janine Garofalo on the Keith Olbermann show. And it sounds to me like he doesn't have the heart to tell her how goofy she sounds, you know. So let's check this out now. This is Janine Garofalo saying that Herman Cain is popular among Republicans because if you can support him, it hides your basic racism.
And Herman Cain is probably well liked by some of the Republicans because it hides the racist elements of the Republican Party, conservative movement, and Tea Party movement, one and the same. You know, people like Karl Rove like to keep the racism very covert, and so Herman Cain provides this great opportunity so that you can say, look, this is not a racist anti-immigrant, anti-female. Look, we have a black man.
Now, that's just about the most stale take I've ever heard, but and there's Olbermann going, yes, you know. And it was Olbermann who not too long ago, I think, called Michael Steele a self-hating black guy. I like to bring that up because I can't believe that a guy who's in the communications business, the Garofalo, I guess she can be forgiven because it's not really something she does every day, which is commenting on the national scene. You know, she's an actress. Whereas Olbermann, that's his job. And to come off sounding like such a cliche, you know, boy, I can tell you someday.
No, he don't sound like that.
Yes, he does. You call Michael Steele a self-hating black. Where do you get off? I swear to God, that story about him bumping his head on a moving subway train, I'm telling you, there's something to that. I think this guy, if you gave him a CAT scan, this Olbermann, There would be a brain there that they have not yet seen the likes of.
Think so?
Well, maybe. Now, Garofalo's comment there about Herman Cain is fascinating because she completely forgets, as does Obermeister, the fact that during the campaign of 2008, there were more racists screaming to get out of the sheets in the Democratic Party than anything I'd ever seen. They had race baiting and racism in South Carolina. Remember that primary? They had that comment from what's-her-face, Ferraro?
Yeah, Geraldine Ferraro, yeah.
She's talking about, you know, there's nothing racist, I guess, inherently about saying the reason why people are voting for Obama is because he's black. But if you can't explain yourself, boy, you just made a big boo-boo. So the crawling racist that came out of that party, man... So you turn around, and here we are heading into 12, and you got this stale take on the reason why people like Herman Cain is because it masks the racism. Guys like Karl Rove, God almighty, get off that kick with Karl Rove, okay? You people are paranoid with him. Yeah, I mean, that has become something that those clowns feed on. They say Karl Rove is a douchebag, and then somebody comes in with Karl Rove is a double douchebag, and the next thing you know, it becomes standard stock truth that Karl Rove is a triple douchebag.
Well, that's what I've heard.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you've heard. Howard Stern says Gloria Stefan hosted the president and asked if she was an Obama supporter. Stefan says she did vote for him, and he's doing a good job.
You hosted the president of the United States for some sort of fundraiser kind of thing, right?
I did. I didn't give any money, though.
You just got your friends to pony up.
Well, not my friends, even. I didn't know a lot of the people that were in my house.
You were just the...
How does that work, Gloria? I don't understand.
The person
are
who
you
was
Obama
on
supporter?
The name to
You know what?
People.
I did support Obama. I voted for him. I think he's trying to do the best he can. That a president can. I think he's doing a good job.
All right, so...
Is she Mexican?
No, she's Cuban.
The people are in my house.
Yeah, that's how that went to me.
All right, very funny. Anyway, Stefan never makes up her mind until close to election time, she said, but she likes much of the message of Herman Cain. It's common sense. Common sense, it ain't very common.
I never make up my mind till the election is coming, and I'm kind of liking a lot of the message Cain is talking about. You know, that's common sense. There's no common sense is not common, by the way. I don't know why they call it common sense.
Right.
What are you? What you got? You guys gonna vote for him?
I think if Howard Stern is gonna vote for him, I will too.
Oh yeah, right, man. What are you gonna vote for, a black guy?
Just don't account. What do you mean, why'd I vote for a black guy?
Just because Howard Stern going to vote for him, you going to vote for him.
You know, in many ways, I trust what Mr. Stern says.
You trust what Mr. Stern says, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's fine. You know, but I agree with Robert. Since when are you voting for a black guy? You're always talking about how black people can't be trusted, this and that. I know you got a black girlfriend. You know, which is the total... I mean, that proves, man, that you don't really think that way, but you run around yakking that way. Now you're going to vote for Herman Cain.
Yeah, you think that I'm being a hypocrite, but I'm not.
Yeah, I know you're being a hypocrite, man. Always talking about black people this, black people that. Now you're going to vote for a black man? I don't care, you got a black girlfriend.
What does Vivian say?
She'd say she agrees with me.
She agrees with black... Oh, yeah, right, man. She agrees that black people are criminally prone?
Yeah.
Oh, bull crap. Get out of here. I've met her. She's not that stupid. As a matter of fact, I don't know how you scored a chick like that. She's pretty bright.
Yeah, she's good. She's going to graduate from college.
Great. That's something that at least there'll be one person in the family. Man. So there's Gloria Stefan on the Howard Stern show talking about Herman Cain. So here's the thing about Herman Cain that's that people, you know, there is, you cannot and you might as well stop denying this. Quit denying it, and let's just talk about it. Americans are so embarrassed by our past, the racist past and the not-so-racist past and the squeaky-clean past and the slave-owning past and the I-didn't-own-slaves past. I mean, we got a lot of pasts, and I'm not making fun. That is exactly where our country comes from. There's nothing wrong with saying the following thing. And this is what Geraldine Ferraro wanted to say, and she couldn't. I voted for Obama because he's black. Because it was going to make me feel good to know that my country could finally elevate to the presidency of the United States a qualified, intelligent, good man who also is black. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Now, you're going to get a whole lot of really stupid reactionary people saying the following thing. Oh, yeah, so you voted for the guy because he's black, and you're saying that we shouldn't let it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, if you heard what I said, then you heard me say the following thing. I voted because of the history of this country and the way that we have come up from, you know, we've clawed our way through some horrible problems, horrible times in this country, to finally reach a point where we elevate to the highest office of the land an African-American, an American who is of African descent, a black man as opposed to a white man. Yeah, that's right. That's why I voted for him. I didn't vote for Jesse Jackson, and I didn't vote for this guy or that guy. I didn't think they were qualified, but I finally found a man who I feel is qualified to be president, and yes, he's black, and yes, that's why I voted for him. Now, unless you say that, and unless you get that out there, and you keep saying it, and force people to talk about it and force people to deal with it, then we're going to be spending another 50 years screwing around. But that's exactly why a lot of people voted for Obama. And there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it at all. I don't give a damn what anybody says. You know, this country has had such a time of it that the violence, the hate, the heartache, the shame, the, you know, trying to live up to ideals that were established by a generation many, many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, trying to live up to this ideal, sometimes thinking we never will, sometimes thinking it's a load of bullcrap, that black, white, it'll never happen. America will never be one country. And we got people talking that way still. We got black people talking that way still. And on Twitter, a guy that I really love and I really, really respect because he's a great musician, Chuck D from Public Enemy, I follow him on Twitter. I don't like 90% of the stuff he says because he's still pissed off. Does he have a right to be? He's got a right to be pissed off. But man, why don't you change your tune a little bit? So it's something other than, you know, how everything has just been, you know, you've been stepped on, stepped on, stepped on, stepped on, stepped on. Isn't there any sunlight? Is there nothing? So, you know, you will vote for Obama if you're white to put a black man in the White House, if for no other reason, to try to shut up some of the people that will say this country will never live up to what it wants to live up to. This country will never be what it wants to be, you know. I love these guys that say, we're better than that. Yeah, really? When was that, man? And a lot of times it's a black guy that tells me that. He says, you know, Phil, we're better than that. We are? You're black, and you're telling me we're better than that. When were we better than that? Tell me about that. Well, you know what I mean. Oh, you're talking about the ideal. Yes, all right, well, then let's talk about that. Don't tell me that we're better than... I don't see anything we're better than that. And you're black. So you sure as hell can't tell me we're better than that. If you think we're better than that, please tell me. No, we're getting better. You know, we're getting better.
Yeah, but what about voting for a guy because of racism?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Just if you just vote for him on account he's black.
I ain't voting for him on account he's black. I'm voting for him because I got a qualified man for the office of the presidency that I like, that I think is got some good ideas, that I think I need to give a shot to. And you want to know something? You know what's going to tip the scales for me? He's black.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I'll vote for him. Yes, I want to see a black man in the White House. Yeah, I want to see that symbol. Yes, I want to see the country elevated. I remember when Obama got elected. I don't give a damn. Everybody, it was white, black, conservative, liberal. There was pride. And we're supposed to feel bad about that? There was a lot of pride in this country when President Obama became president. We're supposed to feel crappy about that? No way. Not me. So, you know.
Who'd you vote for?
I wasn't old enough to vote.
He wasn't old enough to. Who'd you vote for?
McCain.
McCain? You're black.
What's that got to do with it, man? If I'm going to vote for McCain, I'm going to vote for McCain.
You voted for McCain. So did your aunt, right?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. A man arrested in a step-by-step plot to blow up the Capitol and the Pentagon. A step-by-step plot, huh? I got to hear this one on the Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, let's see. This is now the 30th of September, and that means that tomorrow it is officially the 30th of September here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, broadcasting from the El Pacifico here, the Pacific Ocean, which is right behind me on our video cast tonight. Now, this being the 30th, that means tomorrow is the 1st, and tomorrow it will be too late to be a first generation BSP member. That means that if you become a Backstage Pass member today, or if you know anybody who needs to become a Backstage Pass member and they're not, you become a Backstage Pass member today, you're going to get a price for a subscription to our website that is exactly the same price that we first charged in 1999. We have not raised the price in 12 years. But come tomorrow, man, midnight tonight, that's the end of that. And we have our very first price increase in 12 years. Now, it's only going to be a couple of bucks, but still, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty worth it to do it now.
I would.
You guys have BSPs?
No, because we get to see it for free.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. All right. thank you very much. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry Show. And, of course, by joining us, you can get all the other marvelous things we have on our website, including our merchandise store, which is not free, but you can buy baseball caps. We have T-shirts. We have coffee mugs. We have our real our specialty, baby, which nobody's got the guts. No one's got the guts to do this. Our Phil Henry Show shot glass.
That's right.
Our Phil Henry Show shot glass is a beautifully unique thing. So check us out over there at philhenryshow.com. Man arrested in step-by-step plot to blow up the Capitol and the Pentagon. The FBI arrested and charged a douchebag on Wednesday for allegedly plotting to blow up our dear Capitol and the Pentagon. The 26-year-old Massachusetts dip by the name of Rezwan Firdaus.
Well, that ain't no Arab.
What do you think he is?
Sounds like he's Romanian or something.
Romanian? His last name is F-E-R-D-A. I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to sound like a racist.
Yeah, sure.
I don't. Anyway, his name is Rezwan Firdaus. He was arrested as part of an FBI sting operation in which he was made to believe he was working with members of Al-Qaeda who were actually undercover agents. How many guys we have? These undercover FBI agents and whoever else is at work, they deserve our, I'm telling you, they deserve our praise and our thanks. These people work undercover to discover what's going on out there, and these clowns buy it and get sucked in by it. And this would be very dangerous, because if they find out who you are and what you are, according to the TV shows that I've seen, and I don't mean to be, you know, I'm not trying to admit, but seriously, you could get killed. So I think there is a debt of gratitude we owe the FBI and others that work with them in this fight to keep the country safe. And I don't know why it's such a uncool thing to mention, but I'm mentioning it. Firdaus allegedly gave the undercover FBI agents a detailed set of attack plans with step-by-step instructions as to how he planned to attack the Pentagon and Capitol, according to the Department of Justice. The plans focused on the use of three small remote-controlled drone-like aircraft loaded with C4 plastic explosives, which he planned to fly into the Capitol and the Pentagon using GPS equipment, according to the DOG. The DOG stressed that the public was never in danger from the explosive devices, which it said were controlled at all times by undercover FBI officials who closely monitored Firdaus, as he allegedly developed his plot. This jackball is a Northeastern University graduate with a degree in physics, allegedly visited Washington in May, taking pictures of his intended targets and proposed launch sites for the remotely controlled aircraft. These are small aircraft, are they? I don't know what they are. Are they toy planes? Remote-controlled drone-like. No, they would not be drones. They're drones, so they're good size. A drone is...
Yeah, how big is that?
I would say a drone is about the length of this table. What is that, 6 feet? 7 feet.
Yeah, about 7 foot long.
That's a good size. That's not a toy, and it's certainly not a full-size aircraft, but it's big enough to carry a payload that's going to blow the hell out of whatever the hell it hits. And at the same time, small enough where you're going to go undetected by radar. Well, that's all the news we have. I suggest that you check this story out. We got it from The Hill. Man arrested in step-by-step plot to blow up the Capitol. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, at midnight tonight, this is the last day you have a chance to get a BSP as a first-generation BSP member at philhenryshow.com. Don't waste this opportunity. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry, also by Don Naylor, Chris Johnson, and Fred Scotty. And remember, our website, philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. See you tonight.
Phil Henry.